Over the last several Sundays here at our church, we've been celebrating Advent by celebrating the Advent wreath, and we've always talked about it where Advent really just means the coming. And so we, over the last 4 weeks, have been remembering the coming of Jesus through that, and tonight, obviously, is the very last night as we celebrate the Advent. So, Megan, if you want to go ahead and hit the video.
Christmas celebration, we remember the candles that have been lit. First, we lit the candle of hope. Second, we lit the candle of peace. Third, we lit the candle of joy. Finally, we lit the candle of love. These candles remind us that Jesus Christ is the true reason for hope, peace, joy, and love in this season and forever. On this Christmas Eve, we light the center candle. This is the Christ candle. As we light the Christ candle, celebrating the end of Advent and the arrival of Christ and Christmas, let us remember how our Savior came once as a lowly baby, that the world through him might be saved, and how he will return one day in glory.
In John 8:12, Jesus tells us, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Let's pray. Jesus, we do love you, and we do thank you. And as we lit these candles over the last several weeks, we're reminded that when you came, the world was in darkness. But Jesus, you called yourself light because your light penetrated the darkness. And now we can walk in the light that you have given us because of your birth, your death, and your resurrection. So tonight, we celebrate you and we celebrate all that you have done because you have done so much for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Good job. If you didn't get a chance to get communion, you can grab some now. There's a little few up here and a few over here, but I think pretty much everyone's grabbed some. I've had people ask, why do you take communion at a Christmas Eve service? It's real simple. Christmas Eve is just the beginning. Sometimes it's easy to leave Jesus in the manger. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. The little baby grew up. And when he did, he lived a sinless life. And he died and he rose for us. He didn't come just to stay in a little manger. He came to be a savior for us. And so tonight, as we celebrate him, we remember not just his birth, but his death and his resurrection for us. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was with his disciples for one last meal. And he taught them many things. He showed them many things. And during the course of the meal, the Bible records that Jesus took bread. He blessed it and he broke it and he began to pass it out to his disciples. And he said, take this bread and eat it. He said, this bread represents my body. It's going to be broken for you. Let's go ahead and take the bread together. Then the Bible says that Jesus took a cup. And he said some very important things about the cup. He said that the blood or the wine in the cup represents his blood. It represented a new covenant between God and man. Something that God was going to do that was completely different from what had been. And this covenant was going to be sealed by his blood. You see, the Bible teaches this, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so Jesus knew that, and Jesus knew that in a very short amount of time, he was going to shed his blood for us. So knowing all those things, he took the cup, he blessed it, and began to pass it out to his disciples. He said, take this and drink this. He said, this represents my blood that'll be shed for you. Let's go ahead and take the cup together. Thank you, God. Scripture doesn't tell us how often we're to take communion. It just simply tells us that as often as we do this, we are to do it in remembrance of Jesus. And so Jesus, on this night, on this very special night, we remember you. Yes, we remember you coming as a baby. Yes, we remember the shepherds and the story and all the things that make this time so special. But Jesus, we also look ahead. We look ahead to what you have done for us, the reason why you came. And so we take communion tonight to remember not just your birth, but also your death, your burial, and your resurrection for all of us. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I get set up here again, I want to welcome you here this evening. I want to welcome those that are online. Thank you so much for joining us and just allowing us to be a part of this night in your family. And it's such a great honor to be able to share this time with all of you. I want to take a few moments and share from God's Word this evening. If you've been here over the last several weeks, we've been going through a series, kind of our Christmas series, entitled The Exchange. And we've been talking about how this time of year, man, there's a lot of exchanges that are going to take place, not necessarily yet, but probably in the next several days. There's going to be a lot of exchanges. There's going to be a lot of people running back to the store and basically saying, that sweater, maybe it just didn't fit quite right, or maybe those shoes just weren't the right color, or whatever it might be. And we've been kind of looking at that type of understanding. And as we've understood that, we've kind of allowed that to also kind of help us see what Jesus came to do for us. And that he came and we've called him the great exchanger. And we've kind of looked at some of the things that he's exchanged over the years that he's promised in his word. We've kind of looked at kind of a strange verse for around Christmas time. But don't worry, we're actually going to be in a verse tonight that is more Christmassy. But we have been looking in kind of in Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61, 3, it is a prophecy that Isaiah is giving to the Israelites. They've been in captivity in Babylon for about 70 years now. But God is getting ready to bring them back. And so he sends Isaiah to kind of give this prophecy to them, to give them some hope and give them some encouragement. And in this prophecy, we have kind of pulled out this idea that Jesus has kind of come to do these exchanges for us. And our text and kind of our theme for the whole series has been found in Isaiah 61, 3, the first part. And it says this, it says, "To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair." We've talked over the last several weeks about that word "instead" and how Jesus loves to come. And even though there are moments in our lives where we're having those grieving times and we're in those sackcloth and ashes moments, Jesus came to exchange those for a crown of beauty. Even though there's moments where we're dealing with hard times, Jesus comes and he says, "Man, I want to bring an exchange to you and make a difference in your heart and in your life." Jesus did it then, and he does it today. He still is in the exchange business, and he definitely, for every individual, he wants to come and change out some things in your heart and your life. That's kind of what we've been talking about over the last several weeks, and what we're going to kind of still be talking about this evening. But here's what I've also learned about Christmas. Christmas is a time for lists. You know, there's a lot of lists around Christmas. I don't know. You don't have to raise your hand because some of you may be embarrassed if you're a little bit older, even though I had one and I'm totally not embarrassed by it. But, you know, many of you probably had a Christmas list and you put your things on your Christmas list. There's obviously, there's a naughty list and a nice list. I mean, there's lots of lists around Christmas time. And so we put our things on our lists and we say, "I think this would be great," or "this would be nice," or, and we kind of hand those out and share those with people. But you know what I've learned is in life, sometimes there's things that we get that's not on our list. There's things that we experience that quite honestly are not things that we had on our list. We didn't say, "You know what, I'd really, really hope to have that some of that disappointment, you know, this time around, you know, this Christmas season." We don't talk about, we don't put it on our list, "Man, I really hope I have some grief. You know, that'd be awesome. You know, some real good grief this season." We don't talk about, we don't put on our list broken relationships and hard things. But I think all of us know, whether it's on our list or not, we all at times get some things on our list that we just don't want. And we've been talking over the last several weeks about why Jesus came. And here's the thing. Even if there's stuff tonight on your list and you didn't get it, and in fact you got the opposite of what you were hoping for, Jesus still does exchanges. He still comes and he still desires to take those things, maybe things you'd never asked or never dreamed would happen to you, and he wants to come and say, "You know what? I have something better. If you'll just come to me and allow me to exchange those things in your life, I'll do something so much better than you ever dreamed possible." We can take those disappointments and those frustrations and that hopelessness and exchange it for something that Jesus has for us. In Isaiah 9:6, we do see more of a traditional Christmas scripture. This is what it says. Most of you have heard this before. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those are titles that we talk a lot about in Jesus at this time of year. We talk about how he's a wonderful counselor, he's mighty God, he's everlasting Father, he's Prince of Peace. But I think in these titles, we can also look at some exchanges that Jesus offers with each of them. You see, each of these titles not only tells us who he is, but what he's willing to do for us if we'll come to him with our hurt, with our brokenness, with our disappointment, and with our frustration, and with our hopelessness. So this evening, very quickly, we're going to look at each of these titles and see how Jesus will come and make an exchange for us. The first one is the idea or the title of Wonderful Counselor. You see, I believe Jesus will take our confusion and exchange it for divine direction. You see, one of the things that Jesus loves to do is he loves to be a counselor. He loves to say, if you'll come to me and you're confused or you don't know where to turn, I can help you, I can lead you, I can guide you. We talked about it earlier, this idea of Jesus being a light and that he called himself a light. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where it's like I've been wandering around in darkness and confusion. I haven't known where to turn or what to do. And finally, sometimes too long in my own life, but I realize, you know, I need to turn to Jesus. I need to allow him to be that wonderful counselor in my life and guide me in the way I need to go. In our world today, we see so much confusion. We see so many people literally, spiritually almost, just wandering around in the dark looking for something, looking for direction. And I'll tell you, there is only one light of the world. And it's Jesus. And he desires, he wants to come to you and exchange that confusion for direction. Next, we see the title of Mighty God. You see, Jesus will take our weakness and exchange it for his strength. His strength. I don't know where you're at in your life right now, but I know for me there have been times where I'm just tired. I'm just wore out. I feel like, you know, I've been ridden hard and put away wet, if you know what that means, you know, as a horse. I mean, that's just sometimes I feel that in my life, and I feel like I'm just going and going and going, and I never seem to get anywhere. You know why that is? It's because I'm trying to do it in my own strength. I'm trying to do it on what I can do when I don't have to, and you don't either. You see, Jesus desires to come and infuse you with his strength, his ability to do more than you could ever hope or dream or imagine. And we can allow him to be that mighty God for us. We can allow him to exchange those moments where we're just wore out and burned out from life and allow his strength to come. And as scripture tells us, and at that point we can mount up with wings like eagles. But it only comes with his strength. Number three, another title we see, Everlasting Father. You see, Jesus will take our orphanhood and exchange it for adoption into his family. Man, this is one of my favorites. Because I know at this time of year, if you don't know this, you can look it up. There are more people lonely during Christmas than any other time. And they don't have to be. And you go, well, Aaron, how can you say that? You don't know their situation. You don't know their family. You don't know what they've gone through. You don't know those things. And you're right, I don't. But I do know one thing. And that is that Jesus is offering us adoption into his family. You go, Aaron, I don't have any family. You're wrong. You do. You have to accept that family, but you have it if you want it. And it's not in an earthly family. It's in the family of God. One of the greatest things that Jesus offers us is sonship and daughtership because of what he's done. We don't have to be an orphan. You say, Aaron, my father here on earth hasn't been a good one. I understand. Sometimes our fathers aren't perfect. I know as a father, I'm not perfect. But I know a father that is and that loves you and loves me with an everlasting love. A love that says, you know what? No matter where you go, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, I love you and I want you in my family. This Christmas season, you don't have to be alone. Jesus desires you. He wants you to be a part of his family. You can have an everlasting father, and he'll exchange that loneliness for belonging. Number four, Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus will take our weariness and exchange it for rest. For rest. You see, one of the things that we sometimes forget is peace isn't just the absence of conflict. Peace is something different. And a lot of times in our hearts and our lives, we kind of have that attitude. It's like, oh, if I could just have a little bit of peace. I don't know, maybe with the kids now, or they're kind of out of school, and you're kind of like, man, give me 5 minutes of peace, just right now. But this title, Prince of Peace, is so much deeper than that. This idea really helps us to understand that, listen, even when there's conflict, we can have peace. Even when there's things happening in our hearts that are not necessarily what we want, or they weren't on our list, we can still have a peace that passes all understanding. What that means is simple. It means we have peace when it doesn't make sense to have peace. We have peace when the world seems to be crumbling down around us. This is the peace and the rest that Jesus comes to offer you and me. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on how good our life is in that moment. It is based on the fact that we have a Father and a Jesus that loves us and gave us everything we need. And so we can rest in that comfort. We can abide in that peace and experience Him. Jesus tonight so desperately wants to be the exchanger in your heart and in your life. We've talked about it a little bit earlier, as far as when we took our communion together and kind of remembering that this is really the start. Although it's kind of like the end almost to an extent, or getting close to the end of the Christmas season. Tomorrow is Christmas. But the thing is, this was just the beginning. When Jesus was born, it was just beginning. The story was beginning to unfold. The story that God had put into place thousands of years before. Jesus came for you and for me. And He lived a sinless life. And He taught many things. And He showed us many things. And after He had done those things, Jesus willingly laid down His life for you and for me. You see, there's sometimes we have to take a moment and remember, why did He even have to come in the first place? Why do we celebrate this baby that was born? Well, it's really simple. He had to come to rescue us because we ran away, because we thought we could do it on our own. And even way back when we very first fell, God already was working His plan to rescue us. This time of year and throughout, you hear this idea of what's called the gospel. It's called the good news. It's the story of not just Jesus' birth, but of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And we need to understand something, and that is the gospel is not only an answer to our sin problem. It's not only that, it is an offer to you and to me to exchange our sin for forgiveness, our death for life, our separation from God with closeness with Him. You see, here's the funny thing. I don't know if you've caught this throughout the last month, but the exchange that takes place started in Bethlehem, but it ended in an empty tomb. When He came and He exchanged heaven for a trough. When He exchanged being with His Father and experiencing the closeness that He experienced to walking in the dirt and teaching and preaching and walking everywhere. He exchanged a crown of glory for a crown of thorns. And he did all this for you and for me. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is very powerful. This is what it says. It says, "For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins." And then look, "then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us." The exchange. You see, we were the ones that ran away. We were the ones who needed a Savior. We were the ones who needed rescuing. And Jesus came to our rescue. And what Scripture tells us is that all of my sin and all of your sin was canceled out because of what Jesus did for us. He took on our sin so that in turn we could put on his righteousness and experience him the way God always wanted it to be. You see, here's the bottom line. Here's the thing tonight to remember. Jesus was born so we could be born again. Why do we celebrate? Why do we look at this exchanger and all that he exchanges? It's because he was born to die. He was born so that we could be born again and experience once again being a son and a daughter of God. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. And Jesus, as we have talked over the last several weeks about the exchange that you want to make for us, Jesus, there may be people here right now. There may be people online that maybe they know the story of the baby in Bethlehem, and maybe they know the story around Easter time of Jesus dying on a cross. But there's a little bit, something a little bit more involved in this when we realize that he died for us. That Jesus came, and again, he didn't stay in this manger. He grew up. He lived so he could die for every single one of us. And Jesus, I can think of no better exchange that we could ever make than the exchange of our sin for your righteousness. The exchange of our sin for forgiveness. Our separation from you to have an opportunity to be close to you. And so Jesus, if there are people online or here tonight that want to make that exchange, Father, they can do it right now. The Bible tells us that for a person to accept that exchange, they simply have to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And when we do that, you do the rest, and that exchange takes place. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. Though our sin was like red like scarlet, you can make it white as wool. Our job is to come and ask for the exchange. And then you have already done everything necessary to make that happen. And so Jesus, I pray. I pray for people right now who are asking you for that exchange. Because God, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they will do, you will exchange with them every time. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, Trent is already there. Man, you're on top of it. Thank you so much, Trent, for being here tonight. You've done beautifully. Thank you. We're going to move into our candlelight part of the service. I'm going to give you a little bit of instructions, okay? I'm going to go ahead and light my candle, and then I'm going to come down here where you guys are at, and we're going to begin to light. And I'm just going to ask as I kind of begin the lighting process that you just kind of do it around you and behind you. Trent's going to be playing Silent Night. As soon as everyone has their candles lit, we'll come back and we'll sing together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this night. We thank you that you came for us. We thank you that you lived a sinless life for us. We thank you that you died for us and you rose for us. And right now, you are with the Father praying for us. So Jesus, this evening, we ask that you would just for every single individual here, every individual that's online, that, Father, that you would just envelop us with you. You're so good. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas to every single one of you. We love you. We hope that you and your family have an absolutely incredible Christmas season, Christmas Day. And thank you so much for sharing this evening with us. We love you, and we thank you for this time that you have come and started your evening with us. At this time, we want to invite you to stay around for a little while. If you have time, if you need to go, obviously, we want you to be able to do that, but we still have some cookies and some refreshments. If you need to go, please know that that's fine, but we'd love for you to hang out as long as you can to celebrate this season. Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Thank you for being here.